Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino for our Survivor Exit Interview Podcast. Today we have got a great episode of the Exit Interview because we're going to be speaking with His Honor, the Mayor of Slamtown, Mr. John Morrison, who got knocked out of the game sort of off of a crazy set of circumstances. Two idols got played. The votes were split. He ends up being the person to go home. We're going to talk with him about all of that here on the Exit Interview. And then we'll play This Week in Survivor History. And Brian Cordan from Survivor Guatemala will join us to take me on in the quiz with Jordan Kalish, all coming up in the Exit Interview Podcast. Last night, Survivor Know-It-Alls. If you haven't listened to that one, I thought that was another really great episode of the Know-It-Alls, where we got into all of the different factors that went into that vote last night. Really deep breakdown into everything from the episode with Steven up on robiswebsite.com or on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Today, I will be talking with Wendell Holland, the winner of Survivor Ghost Island, today on the podcast to break down everything that happened in the episode and get his take on everything in Survivor 37. Really looking forward to that podcast. We're going to record that sometime in the early afternoon here on Thursday. And then we will have our feedback show coming up over the weekend with Hannah Shapiro. Get your feedback questions in for that one. And then we'll have the Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler coming up on Monday. But we have a great guest here with us to talk about everything from last night's Survivor. And let's go ahead and patch him in. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing okay at this hour. It is a great pleasure to speak with His Honor, the Mayor of Slamtown and the Impact World Wrestling Champion. John, we are still in shock this morning.
You and me both, bro. Man, it was really fun to watch it back, though. And you know, every once in a while, like, you say something and you have like a weird feeling when you say it. That hashtag Brochacho Blindside interview I did, I had like a weird feeling afterwards what I would regret quoting that term. And pretty soon after, dismissed that feeling, which I probably should not have done. But yeah, man, I was just so shocked at that whole thing.
You put it out there into the universe and it came back to bite you. Going back to that tribal council last night, is there anything that you look back and think that if you could have done something different, that there was any way to prevent this?
Oh, yeah, totally. I could have colluded more with the Davids and talked strategy with them. I was really like nice and got along with everybody, but I didn't really include them in my strategic game, which, in retrospect now, especially seeing it back, is a big part of why they chose to vote me out. They probably would have picked someone else if I had been in cahoots with them a little bit more.
Who in particular? Christian?
You know, like all of them, but Christian, but really the decision was Davey and Nick seemed like the people that made the decision, and I'd never really been on a tribe with either of them, and I hadn't really talked any strategy with them. So I think maybe if I had talked more to any of them, it could have helped. But specifically in the case of last night, those are the two guys that I think made the call. And those are also two guys that I just hadn't really spent much time with.
I don't think you can beat yourself up too much on that front. I mean, it was only a couple days after the merge. And you're right. You had not ever spent any time with those guys.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I believe that there's always something that someone could have tweaked, and it's easy to talk about now in retrospect. And at the time, like, what I was doing made sense strategically, because I was totally going Goliath strong as it was shown on the episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I've luckily got a lot of stuff going on, so I've been kind of past it and not necessarily beating myself up over it, but I am aware that there's always something you could do.
Yeah. After that second idol came up, did you feel like was there any reason for Dan to not play the idol on Angelina, or you wanted him to save Angelina with the idol?
I wanted him to save Angelina with the idol because I felt like she was somebody in the game that I trusted. And for some reason, like, I didn't really think through what would happen if the Davids split their vote. It didn't really dawn on me until I saw the first vote for me. Mm-hmm. That, you know, oh shit, this is my night. Yeah. It's going down right now. Also, I thought that Dan was more, he didn't seem conflicted to me. The conversation he had with Alex about wanting to get Angelina out and should he play the idol or not. I didn't feel like he was undecided going into that carnival.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's a really loyal guy, and I think he acted in character.
Did you have any suspicions that there was a leak amongst the Goliaths? Specifically, Alec went back and then told the Davids about the plan to take out Christian.
Yeah, and I actually specifically suspected Alec was forming alliances with the Davids because he can then just tell based on who he's talking with and how much time he's spending one-on-one with people. I did not expect him to be. I didn't think that he gave the Davids, like Christian, Nick, or any of those guys, information about specifically that vote. I thought that it was a problem that was going to have a problem for my game that I was going to have to deal with later. And the way that it all worked out, there's a Malcolm Gladwell book, Blink.
Yes.
Like your first impression, that gut reaction that you get sometimes. I think your subconscious is smarter than the rest of you. And for sure, like I felt like, I knew he was in cahoots with people outside of the Goliath Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, I probably should have followed that gut instinct instead of trying to take care of the problem later. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing with Survivor. Something comes up, you got to just deal with it immediately.
Yeah.
If you wait, it's too late.
And it's always a lot easier 8 or 9 months after the game is over, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. With this hindsight, like, I reflected on it. I got to see the episode. So now I'm an expert on the situation.
Yep.
But you're right. At the time, it's different.
Do you guys feel like that the Goliaths made the right call to go after Elizabeth at the previous vote instead of Christian, like it was on the table and was thrown out there by Angelina?
Well, pretty clearly, it would have been much better for me if we got Christian out first. Mm-hmm. I think probably strategically, I mean, obviously it would have been better for me. For the game, it's tough to say because since Elizabeth was already on the outs with the Davids, it just seemed like a harmonious thing to do to vote her out instead of Christian, who I really liked Christian and didn't want to see Christian go immediately. I was even sad to see him go when I thought we were going to blindside him. So I'd spent all that time with him on Tribe Tiva. So strategically, yeah, it would have been a better move. But, I mean, I just understand why it went the way it did. You know, I was there.
Did you have a strong call on that decision? Because I don't think we really saw your perspective in terms of whether or not you wanted Christian to go home over Elizabeth. We saw you talking with Dan and talking with Angelina, but I don't think we got a confessional from you on what you wanted to have happen.
Well, my 2 cents on that was I wanted Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hadn't really talked a lot of like strategic stuff with Christian, but I mean, you know, when you're sitting on a beach with somebody 24 hours a day, there's just a lot of like, I mean, I talked a lot to Christian and Gabby both, and Allison and Dan also, about just like light stuff. But Tribe Tiva was a really, from my point of view, good experience. We all got along really well and we all opened up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Probably could have opened up more strategically, and I didn't. But because of that, I really dug Christian, and I didn't really want to see him go, even though I knew he was a threat.
Who were the people that you would have considered your tightest allies in the game?
I thought I was really tight with Allison.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan, definitely. Angelina, even Christian and Gabby. Even, actually, if from a strategic point of view, not them. And Mike, too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I had a good bond with Mike. From day one.
During the pre-merge, we saw you pull Natalie aside and try to give her a heads up about what was going on. How close were you with Napalm Natalie?
I consider her a really tight ally and someone that I thought I could trust. And from my perspective, if I was perceived as a physical threat, she would be the opposite kind of threat and someone mm-hmm. that if I could rely on, could probably help me deep into the game if I could get her there. which is what I wanted to do.
Were you annoyed when they got to the merge and Natalie was one of the people that got voted off by Mike and Angelina?
Yeah, I understood it because I know that like we're having a hard time getting along with her.
Mm-hmm.
But I was annoyed by that. I was annoyed by Luke voting out Natalia.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny, man. In retrospect, like all those things should have been like just bigger warning signs, you know?
Yeah.
But when we all reunited, I just kind of overlooked that, especially the Natalia vote. That was what really kind of made me feel like Alec, mostly Alec, but Alec and Karen both had like made a bad decision, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Yeah, like all that stuff. It's fun watching it back.
We didn't get to see anybody have any sort of confrontation with Alec about that Natalia vote. Were those conversations had?
I had a couple with him, and I wouldn't even say it was like a full confrontation. And he just kind of explained his reasoning, which didn't really make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wanted to make a move. He said that she was acting irrationally, which I could see, sure, but everyone acts irrational. That was just a move to me that logically didn't make sense.
John, what has been the reaction to you being on Survivor from the other professional wrestlers?
A couple things. There's a lot of people who are really big fans of Survivor in the world of wrestling. Sanjay Dutt, especially, who's a pro wrestler and works in the office of Impact Wrestling now,
mm-hmm.
always asks me all kinds of Survivor questions. But in addition to that, there's a handful of wrestlers who asked me all kinds of questions about the show that I couldn't really go into until now. And then there's also a lot of people at the shows that I do that don't really know about Survivor. And when we're both at the merch stand and I've got like t-shirts and all the stuff that you sell at those events.
Mm-hmm.
And half the people that come up are asking me about Survivor. There's a lot of wrestlers also who are like, man, I didn't realize what a big deal Survivor is.
Yeah.
which is a funny reaction to me because it's such a huge show.
How is Survivor similar to wrestling?
I mean, ultimately, you could say Survivor is pretty similar to life, probably any sort of occupation. But in wrestling, I'd say that the analogy runs deeper because there's a bunch of guys competing to be the best and brand ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
By that I mean world champion for me right now at Impact is what I'm talking about. Winning championships in wrestling is based on a lot of things. How well you're liked, your communication skills in the ring, cutting promos, your physical wrestling ability, and all that kind of combined equals like your drawing power and your marketability.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly in Survivor, painting that picture to everyone and explaining to everyone why they specifically would be incentivized to keep you in the game over someone else. There's a similar process that goes on. I mean, there's a lot of differences too, but it's funny how everything kind of reflects at least parts of other things.
Yeah, that's interesting. Last thing, John, before you go. If the timing worked out perfectly around your wrestling schedule, would you consider returning to Survivor?
I have to ask my wife first, now that I'm married.
Yeah.
But I had a really good time.
Congratulations on the wedding.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, there's not much in life that's more important than that.
Mm-hmm.
But if the schedule worked out, and I had a really positive experience. Like, feels like not completely authentic to say it was like the best time because it was really challenging physically, but it really was the best experience.
All right. Well, to anybody who's sad that they're not going to see John anymore other than being on the jury, go ahead, check him out on Pop TV tonight. Impact Wrestling, right?
Impact Wrestling, 10 p.m. on Pop TV. Or if you have Netflix, you can check out Boone the Bounty Hunter, which is a movie that I co-wrote, produced, and starred in. Came out on Netflix earlier this year. And it's the thing that I've done outside wrestling in entertainment that I'm the most proud of.
Okay. All right. Great stuff. Congratulations on the championship and your recent mayoral reelection to Slamtown. Very, very impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm hoping to hold office for a long time.
Yeah, no recounts. Okay. All right. Take care, John.
All right. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. John Morrison, who I really do think did a great job this season in terms of I knew nothing of the great Johnny Nitro, Johnny Mundo, the George Bushy of Tushy before any of this started. And I really thought that he was going to come out and be sort of an abrasive character, not unlike we saw with John Rocker in Survivor San Juan del Sur. And he was like the complete antithesis of that, where he seemed like he was a very genuine, introspective guy who certainly had, brochacho moments on the show, but did seem like that, he was a lot deeper than I ever thought we were going to get with this character on the show. So very nice to see him come through the Survivor process. And, I do always give people like John or Jeff Kent, or Cliff Robinson a ton of respect, because, nobody is forcing them to do these exit interviews. And, John very easily could have said, like, what the hell do I, I got this going on, I got this going on, what do I need to be talking to these podcasts about Survivor? So I really appreciate him coming on and talking to us about this whole Survivor experience, because I must realize how much the fans of the show appreciate this type of stuff. All right. Before we go to Jordan Kalish and this week in Survivor history, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor. And those are the people over at Blink Home Security. Blink is an ultra affordable 100% wire-free home security camera that runs on just two AA batteries for up to 2 years. Blink cameras, they don't have any wires. They can be placed virtually anywhere in your home, inside or out. Blink is super convenient because they have an Android, Apple, and Amazon Fire tablet app that allows you to view video from your cameras anywhere in the world. Blink cameras start at just $99. They're so convenient to set up. I went through the whole process. It only took me a couple of minutes. I just popped in the AA batteries, which I have to also say is huge, because I've had other security cameras that take different batteries that you have to order online or go to the store and find, it's a battery that you've never seen before. It's so great to be able to have just AA batteries in these things. It also picks up audio, which other home security cameras that I've had do not. And you're able to just track it all on the app. It also records things you can go back and watch. There's also motion sensors that can send you an alert anytime motion gets picked up on your camera. It's not just for watching the outside of your home. You can put them inside your home, keep an eye on your kids while you're at work. You can keep track of your pets, elderly relatives, watching a vacation home. So many different uses that you can have for these Blink home security cameras. From downloading the app to onboarding the sync module and adding your cameras, the entire process should take you less than 5 minutes to set up. To go get yours, go ahead and check out Blink for home.com/Rob Podcast. That's Blink, F-O-R, home.com/Rob Podcast.
Twish.
Yes, we are ready for this week's edition of This Week in Survivor History. And let's bring in the great host of This Week in Survivor History. And that would be none other than Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How's it going, Rob?
Going very good. And Jordan, excited to be back. How was the feedback on last week's episode?
The feedback on last week's episode, as always, was extremely positive. No one had a bad word to say about This Week in Survivor History. The only little criticism, everyone was like, where are the Guatemala questions? We didn't do anything from Guatemala, which I know is your favorite season of Survivor. So I decided that I needed to fix this. Not only are we potentially covering Guatemala today, we have a former Survivor Guatemala contestant on the podcast. We have Brian Corden here with us today, the originator of Deep Lake.
Get out of here.
Yes.
The Brian Corden.
The Brian Corden, yes.
Yes, Brian, how are you? Welcome back.
After that intro, I've never been better. I'm fantastic.
And nothing against Survivor Guatemala. You're making it like that we're shading Survivor Guatemala. What I've said is that I feel like 90% of the questions on this show seem to be about Survivor Guatemala.
Sounds right.
I wouldn't say 90%. That sounds like a little bit of Kalish math, but yeah, okay. Maybe I go to Guatemala more than I do to some other seasons, but it's fun. I think it's an underlooked season, and it deserves some love.
Okay. Now, Brian, have you said before the show that you were going to recuse yourself from all Survivor Guatemala questions that may come up on today's quiz?
No, I'm taking any point I can get. I want all the Guatemala questions.
Okay. All right.
I also wasn't even there in the game at this point in the game anyway, so.
All right. Is that fair, Jordan?
I believe that's fair. I think I've asked you Amazon and All-Stars questions before, so I think it's good.
Okay. Brian, what's been going on? What's new?
Oh, God, no. I've just been hanging out with a bunch of the New York survivors. Wine and Cheese is strong.
Wine and Cheese is still strong.
Oh, my God. We've lost so many to, like, move. You know, Steven went briefly to Rhode Island. Franny's in California. But, you know, we have our core, and we have our text chain, and that's all that really matters.
You and Eliza are still holding it down. You guys still watch the episodes?
Yes, weekly. Like, it's at this point, it's mostly just me and Eliza and Sophie when she's in town.
Okay. But the flame still burns.
Yes, and we talk all the time. We're okay. A tight group.
Yeah, I got to say, the New York Pizza and Beer Alliance, which is the New York City RHAP patrons, it sounds like we have a much bigger group that typically meets up to a survivor. Okay. Yes.
We prefer the term exclusive, but sure.
Are you guys hoping for more New York survivors to pad your numbers, or are you guys trying to avoid them because then it gets awkward that people want to get in and there's like a whole process of initiation.
You know, if you pay the initiation fees, we are always welcoming of all New York survivors, of anybody. If you're in town, Tyler Fredrickson, I think, is in town this week. We're going to see him tomorrow night. So we are open arms welcome. I think Jeremy from this season is a New Yorker, but we don't know where to find him. So I don't know if he wants anything to do with the survivor anymore, but okay.
He's hiding. Jeremy, if you're listening, please reach out to Brian and Eliza.
We sound so pathetic, but you know, we're passionate about the show. Okay. So,
all right. Well, everybody knows that. That goes without saying. All right, and you have to be passionate about the show to be here on the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. All right, Jordan. Can you please explain to us the rules of the This Week in Survivor History quiz?
All right, I'm going to give
a brief
rundown of the This Week in Survivor History rules. So, some would say that they can get a little bit complicated here, but it's the same rules every week. So I have four multiple choice questions for you. You'll each get to answer two of them. If you choose not to hear the multiple choice options and you're correct, you gain a total of 2 points. However, if you go for two and you are wrong, your opponent gets the chance to steal a point. If you do hear the multiple choice options and you get one right, you gain 1 point. Then we go to a final round in which you could each gain up to 3 points. So that's all the math. That's all the rules. Are you guys ready to hear the categories for the four multiple choice questions?
Now, Brian, do you still train people to take which test is it?
SAT, PSAT, and ACT.
Okay. Are you able to succinctly explain those exams better than Jordan was able to explain this quiz?
Do you know there's a connection between me and Jordan and the SAT, actually?
No, I had no idea.
Jordan went to a high school that we work with, so he didn't take the course. My understanding is his mother wouldn't let him take the course because she knew that there was a survivor teaching the class, and if Jordan were to take the class, he would be distracted the whole time by asking survivor questions.
Is that true?
That is true. I was jealous of some of my friends who had Brian Corden as an SAT tutor. And also one of my mom's friends' son was an SAT tutor, so I think she felt compelled to use him. And I did well, so I guess it worked out. But yeah, Mom, if you're listening, Jacob Ball was lucky. He got to have Brian Corden as an SAT tutor.
Okay. All right, Jordan, what are the categories here today?
Okay, we have You Don't Know Guat, Location, 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 Could Have Sharbot More Time, and Savage Burn 2. Last week, we had a question about Andrew Savage, Savage Burn 1. This is Savage Burn 2. Brian, as the guest, you get to choose the category first.
I love it. Obviously, I want the guac question.
All right. You don't know Guat. We're going to go to Survivor Guatemala. The episode was Eating and Sleeping with the Enemy from November 17th, 2005, 13 years ago this coming Saturday. On the reward to a Guatemalan mansion, the survivors were given tapes of their loved ones. Whose tape featured their pet dogs? So you can either choose to hear the multiple choice or you can go for one. No, I know
this. It was because Danny always talked about Hondo. His name was it has to be Danny.
Danny is correct. Brian, you start strong with that Guatemala question. You get 2 points. I did not know the dog's name, but apparently Hondo featured very heavily in that video on the reward. Rob, it is your turn to choose the next question.
Yeah. Brian, is this a good look for Jordan Kalish to open up with Guatemala questions?
I love it. My heart is pounding. I'm like sweating about this.
What are the categories again?
We have location, location, location. Could have Sharbot more time and Savage Burn 2.
I will go with Savage Burn 2.
So we're going to go to Survivor Cambodia. The episode is called You Call Will Hall. This is from November 11th, 2015, 3 years ago this past Sunday. When Kelly Wentworth played the idol to eliminate Savage, she broke the record for most negated votes at a single tribal council, a record that still stands. How many votes were cast against her and therefore negated at this tribal council?
Well, I think I know the numbers you're going to give me in multiple choice. And so I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to live dangerously. And I'm going to say that she negated 9 votes.
So 9 votes. So as you know, this is the second tribal council after the merge. The first one, Cass, was voted out. This one, Savage, went because she negated those votes. So it was the 3 members of the Witches Coven that voted with her. And yes, there were 9 other people who voted against her. So Rob, a strong start by both of you. You each have 2 points here. Very, very nice job.
That could have blown up in my face, Brian.
I would have gotten that.
That was a risky strategy.
That was bold.
I got to keep pace.
Yeah, I would have said 8.
You got to risk it to get the biscuit.
Right. Or Brandon, what did Brandon say in Guatemala? But this, I feel like this has to be very Guatemala. He had an episode title, The Brave, they're the Cautious Don't Live, or The Brave May Not Live Long, but The Cautious Don't Live at All. Brandon Bellinger.
That seems like a Coach Wade quote.
Oh, God. I mean, sure. He's a great guy.
So, Brian, you have, it is your turn to choose a category here. We have location, 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 and could have Sharbot more time.
All right. I have no idea what location, location, location could be about, but I like Sharbot more time because that's got to be Samoa.
Okay. Yes, we are going to Samoa. The episode is Tastes Like Chicken from November 12th, 2009, 9 years ago this past Monday. Who from the Galoo Alliance proposed the idea of splitting the votes at the tribal council in which Kelly Sharbot was ultimately voted out, but was shut down by his or her tribe mates?
Oh, okay. All right. We can talk out reason. I have to SAT this.
Sure. And you can't skip questions. This isn't like the SAT. You have to answer the questions.
And there's a penalty for wrong answer. All right. Yeah. So who
proposed? You can get the multiple choice also.
Right. No, I know, but I got to beat Rob. What am I going to sacrifice a point here? Okay.
But I do get the steal if you guess without the multiple choice.
I see. Okay. I think I do actually know this because I liked that season. And I think that I remember it coming up in the second chance ballot, which is why I think the answer to this question is Monica.
Oh, that is correct. I don't remember this coming up in the second chance ballot, but yeah, Monica Padilla,
that's a good memory.
Was the one who spoke to her, who was talking to the other Galoos on the beach. Actually, Russell walks by during this conversation. He thinks he overhears them. But yeah, Monica Padilla said we should maybe split the votes.
I think it was Dave Ball that shut it down.
Yes, Dave Ball was the main force shutting that down. So, Brian, you have 4 points.
She in her second chance video actually wasn't even going to vote for her for second chance. And then I was so compelled to do so. Her video was so earnest about she wishes she had more agency in Samoa. And I think that's, she references that.
Now I will get to take location, location, location. Is this one of these cockamamie questions where this isn't about any season, but this is about 12 different seasons?
Ooh. Is that a thing?
This season is also about Survivor Samoa. It's the same episode that we just spoke about. So cool down with that cockamamie talk. I don't know what you're talking about. So where does Russell find the hidden immunity idol he used to idol out Kelly Sharbaugh, his second one of the season?
I will have to hear the multiple choices.
Okay, was it A, under a rock near the shelter? Was it B, under the bridge? Was it C, under large tree roots? Was it D, in Ryan Ulrich's pants?
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay, could I hear the choices again?
Yes. Was it A, under a rock near the shelter, B, under the bridge, C, under large tree roots, or D, in Ryan Ulrich's pants?
I mean, I did not memorize all of the idols that Russell found, but I will go with B, under a bridge.
Okay, so I will say that these three, the fake answer, Ryan Ulrich's pants, was not one of the places where Russell found an idol on his season. But the three real answers were all places where Russell did find an idol, and you chose the right one. That was the second idol he found. It was, of course, re-hidden after he didn't need to play it in the previous tribal council where Eric Cardona went home.
Yeah, I feel like the third one was where he saw the clue on the phone and then went and then found it.
The third one was the one that was near the shelter under a rock. So, Rob, you have 3 points. Brian has 4 points. So a 1 point lead for Brian going into the final round. Yeah, very close matchup here. But as you know, you could both score points on this round. So this is the death match. This is the final round. Many people were voted out this week in Survivor history, and most of them came in either 8th, 9th, 10th, or 11th place. You will pick a number from 1 to 11, with each one corresponding to a Survivor contestant. You'll answer with which place they came in their particular season. The answer will be either 8th, 9th, 10th, or 11th. Four answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect in your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tie after four answers, we'll go to a tiebreaker. So, Rob, you are trailing here. You'll get to choose a number from 1 through 11. I will give you the season, I will give you the person's name, and you will tell me if they came in 8th, 9th, 10th, or 11th place.
Okay.
It's hard.
Yeah.
All right. Not an easy game.
Oh God. I'm like, whew.
Give me number two.
Number two. We're going to Survivor Africa, and this is Lindsay Richter.
Lindsay Richter came in 8th, 9th, 10th, or 11th place. Okay, so she was in a 16 person season. I think she was the 6th person out. So I think that they merged at 10. I think that would put her in 11th place.
So Survivor Africa did merge at 10. She was the boot right before the merge. That is correct. Rob, you get a point. And it is 4-4. Brian, it is your turn to choose a number between 1 and 11.
Let's go with 11. Survivor Guatemala was 11.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor Vanuatu. And this is Sarge.
Okay, Sarge was the first juror that season, right? Because they merged.
And Eliza will murder you if you get this wrong.
Eliza will kill me if I get this wrong. But I know that, what's his name? Rory was the first one out at the merge. Sarge was the first juror. That was an 18-person season, final two, jury of 7. He should also be 9th place would be Sarge. First juror, 9th. Yeah, 9th.
9th place is correct. Wow. You get a point. And Brian, you have a 5-4 lead here, meaning Rob, if you answer this incorrectly, you lose the game. If you answer it correctly Brian is wrong on his next question, we will continue and go to a tiebreaker.
Okay.
So 1 point game here. Rob, pick a number 1 through 11. 2 is out. 11 is out.
Okay. I will go with number 3.
Number 3, we're going to Survivor Philippines, and this is Artis Sylvester.
Oh boy. Artists. Okay. So at the merge, I'm pretty sure it went RC, then Jeff Kent, and then I think then he went out and it was just Pete and Abby were left. I believe. So that is an 18 person season, and I think they merged at 12. And so, and I will say that that would make him at 10th place.
10th place for Artis Sylvester. Unfortunately, Rob, Artis Sylvester came in 9th place on Survivor Philippines, which means, Brian Corden, you have won the quiz. Congratulations.
Oh, my God. I can exhale. Oh, my God. That was intense. These are like really
not easy.
Cuts.
Not easy.
Jordan, you should write the SAT.
Yeah. What did I reason that wrong, or my math was wrong?
So they merged at 11 this season. You were correct that that RC and Jeff Kent went out before Artis, but I believe that you working under the assumption that it was a 12 person merge.
Dana went out, and then they voted out two people in that episode. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it was after the swap. Actually, all three Calabal women went out. Dana Dawson, right? And Katie Hansen. So they only merged at 11 that season, not 12. I think you were working under the assumption that it was a 12.
Well, I was working under the assumption that they only kicked off one person per episode before they got to the merge.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes, I think that is why. So you did
right.
It was a good guess. The reasoning wasn't bad. It's just you were off by one.
Yeah, I think that Dana and Dawson, I think, went out in one episode.
Eight-person juries are weird.
Yep, it was wacky, but good job. Great work, Brian Corden. Brian, can you give us a Guatemala update? Is there who do you still keep in touch with from Survivor Guatemala? Anybody?
You know who I recently kind of reconnected with is Morgan. We, for years, she was kind of missing from social media, and it was just always a little awkward because of the way she went out. But we had this, really sweet reconciliation over Facebook or Twitter. Felt, for years just felt awkward and bad about how we had kind of voted her out so painfully. She was just so blindsided. And for years, I just hadn't seen her on social media at all. But then we somehow connected over something. And she just was like, hey, I've always meant to ask you, do you ever feel bad about how I went or regret it? Or would you do it again to me? And I, talked about how I felt. I did feel bad about it. I mean, I know it's a game, but Morgan really was, I think, deeply affected by it. Anyway, we kind of reconciled and it feels really good. Now we like each other's posts all the time. So I feel good.
Now, did Morgan feel like that she is the best Survivor Morgan of the other Morgans that played?
I feel like the Morgan tribe as a whole is the best Survivor Morgan. And then, I don't know, Morgan McLeod, right? That's her name. She,
McLeod, but
I think it's McLeod. McLeod. She's, I feel like, probably a bigger fan favorite for several reasons, two notable ones. But
His last Morgan didn't go far.
Oh, my God. Morgan Rick or Ricky or Rickle.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot all about her. Oh, yeah. No, my Morgan's better than that Morgan.
Morgan McDevitt hanging in there. Anybody else from the Survivor Guatemala WhatsApp group or anything like that?
No. You know, our season is kind of a bunch. I don't know. A lot of people faded away into oblivion and I don't even know where they are. Brianna, I couldn't tell you anything about. Jim Lynch. Lydia disappeared, unfortunately. Jamie Newton is an insane person and I love him. He's always posting the most bizarre photos from his Florida life. He hasn't changed an ounce, which is really heartening. Brooke I talked to and Amy I talked to. But other than that, don't really hear much from anyone.
Did she ever live up to her promise to beat Gary down?
I feel like she does that on a daily basis. That's
poor Gary.
That's a regular routine thing for Amy.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on here with us.
Oh my God.
Congratulations on your win. I know you still keep up with the show, tweet about it regularly. How do people find you?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter. It's Bri Carden because Brian Carden was taken. So BRICORRIDAM. Okay. Follow me. I tweet along with the episodes.
Yeah.
And Brian, talking about Twitter, who do you think is the first Survivor contestant you followed on Twitter? A little bit of a bonus question here.
Oh, for sure. It was Eliza because she probably signed me up for Twitter. I was so resistant to the idea of Twitter and Instagram. She literally signed me up for Instagram while I was visiting her in China because she was so appalled that I wasn't part of this online world. And then she harangued me for years about Twitter. So 100%, if she wasn't my first fall on Twitter, she would have burned the whole thing to the ground. So definitely.
I'm surprised she hasn't burned it down to the ground yet, because it looks like according to this list of your followers, your first Survivor follow on Twitter was Anthony Robinson.
Oh,
what? Thank you, everyone.
That's what it says. I'm just going by the list.
This is public knowledge. I feel
violent.
No.
Oh, Anthony must have followed. There's no way it wasn't Eliza. This can't possibly be right. Eliza, if you're listening,
unless you unfollowed Eliza and then refollowed her after Anthony Robinson.
Did you get in a fight?
That's crazy. Anthony Robinson's a great guy. I don't know that he was my first Twitter follow.
You think,
wow.
You think that Jordan might have the facts incorrect?
This might be alternate facts, I think.
I mean, it's happened. It's Taylor happened before. Fact. It's happened before, but I'm just on your Twitter follows right here, and I just scroll down the list, and it appears that Anthony Robinson is before Eliza Orleans.
I don't even know how to look at. I didn't even know this is a thing. I feel duped. I feel like the curtain's been pulled away. Following. I just remember just following
music here.
Colton Cumby and I just followed each other the other day, and that was like, whoa. I did not care for him on the show, but he's appeared to become a less horrible person. I don't know. That's terrible to say. He's funny on Twitter. I like him on Twitter.
He's funny on Twitter.
Oh, there is Anthony. Wow. Okay. Okay.
All right. Brian, I'm sorry that this is the Brian Cornan exposed party here at the end of Twitch by Jordan
Kalish.
This
went from a big high to a real earth-shattering low. I'm going to hear about this tomorrow.
He suckers you in and then, gives you...
The dirty dog.
Yeah.
You baited me.
you baited Brian. Yes. Brian, did you listen to Jordan's outburst during the Bait Blake game?
Sure did, and it brought me tremendous joy. I did. It brought me right back to
play, the best final round of Twitch, best game. And Brian, thank you for helping me come up with it.
Oh, I feel like that was just like, this is the long germinating seed. Like, I just baited Blake 13 years ago so that one day I could be on Twitch and have a reason to be here. So thank you.
Yes. So Brian, it was proven here once again that you are platinum. I am but gold.
Ah,
the platinum standard in This Week in Survivor history.
Amazing. Thank you for that reference.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Really glad that's still happening.
All right. Brian, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you guys. A lot of fun.
Yeah, Brian, thank you.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Okay. You too. Brian, thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate you doing this.
So much fun. Thank you guys for accommodating the late hour.
That was a good one.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You gave me a run for my money.
All right. More love it.
You took my money.
All right. Well, hey, that's what I do.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Take care, buddy.
Bye, Rob. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, Jordan. Great job with booking Brian Cordan for the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Yes. When you're such a Guatemala stan, you tend to get the Survivor Guatemala contestants.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like it's a little bit the fix is in when you bring in a Survivor Guatemala contestant, tell them, hey, I've got lots of Survivor Guatemala questions. And then a category is called, this one is the Guatemala question.
Hey, well, look, you've answered Amazon and All-Star questions on this podcast.
I feel like we rarely talk about Survivor Amazon.
This is an odd numbered season. Last season was an even numbered season. We did cover both of your seasons. And look, Brian wasn't even in. If we do an Amazon, there was no Amazon episode that you weren't in. Okay. He wasn't even in this episode, but he did know. He knew the dog's name.
All right.
That's all trivia,
right,
baby.
All right, Jordan. Well, let me also thank our sponsor for the This Week in Survivor History segment this week. And those are our friends over at BetOnline.ag. Now, Jordan, last week I ended up picking the New York Jets. At your request, you said, I feel I've never been more locked in. Todd Bowles has this whole thing figured out. Put everything on the Jets.
Rob, I know that's not true because I do a pick'em league and I picked against the Jets.
You were feeling very good about Todd Bowles. You said they should extend Todd Bowles, you were saying before the game last week.
Yeah, I really love watching McCown play. That's what I wanted to see going into the season.
All right, but I will try to get back on track. Picked a bunch of games that were right last week, but I got to go 5 for 5 if I want to win this $5,000 for the charity of my choice. The St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. That $5,000 will go to the winner of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge, where the Podcast One hosts are playing this football pick'em competition. And I need to get back closer to first place after a disappointing only 4 out of 5 games correct in week number 10. All right, here are the picks real quick for week number 11. Give me Arizona over Oakland. Give me New Orleans over Philadelphia. Sorry, Paul Borges. Give me Pittsburgh over Jacksonville. Give me Carolina over Detroit. And for the best bet of the week, give me the Chargers at home this week against the Broncos. Okay.
Yeah. Chargers 7-2, looking good this season. I think I agree with all five of those picks.
Thank you. Thank you. But you know, you agreed with Todd Bowles winning last week.
That is not true. Not true.
All right. So here we are.
Fake news.
We've passed the midway point in the NFL and college football season. Each game is more and more important, just like as the Twitch schedule winds down in the NFL. Saints, Rams, Chiefs, all looking real good. Carolina, Pittsburgh, San Diego, Houston, they're heating up. In college football, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Michigan, they're all at the top of the BCS standings. There's only one place to go to get in on all that action. That's betonline.ag. Don't waste any longer. Use promo code podcast1 to get 50%. Sign up bonus. That's podcast one promo code for the 50% sign up bonus. In the NBA, Milwaukee, Toronto, Golden State, and Denver are all off on a high note. And in NHL, Nashville and Tampa Bay Lightning, John, sitting at the top with the best records. Don't miss out on any more of this incredible action. Go online on your mobile phone to sign up and use promo code podcast1. To receive your 50% sign-up bonus and try in-game live betting where you can participate with all the action on every play. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Jordan Kalish is on Twitter. You can find him. He is at Jordan Kalish. Jordan, anything else going on in your world?
Nothing much. Just basketball season is starting up, so doing some coaching. Thanksgiving. That's been
Thanksgiving.
A few weeks.
You're pumped up. What's your favorite dish at Thanksgiving?
I'm a big turkey guy. I always like the big turkey leg, and then pecan pie. Pecan pie after the meal.
You're a dark meat guy.
Dark meat guy for sure.
Okay, so look out for Jordan Kalish next week with the drumstick.
Boring answer to that question. What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish? And I say turkey. I mean, it's true. So I had to go with it, but I think that's a really boring answer.
No, I think that this was good. Cause I like to go with the white meat, a little bit of the dark meat, but we're a week ahead on this.
I save the white meat. I make a sandwich the next day with the white meat and the gravy and the cranberry sauce. Day of Thanksgiving, huge turkey leg on my plate. That's perfect.
Well, you know what, though? That actually, in terms of this week in Survivor history, that typically what they do is with the exit interview next week is that we'll get an episode of Survivor on Wednesday night. And then with Thursday being Thanksgiving, we'll get the exit interview the following Monday. So that's typically the holiday schedule. So this is the Thanksgiving episode of Twitch.
Oh, okay. That's what do you know? I didn't even intend that.
Who knew? All right. So Jordan, thank you again. We're thankful for everything you do for this week in Survivor history, and we'll talk to you probably next Monday.
Yes. Thank you, Rob. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, even though at this point we're like, what, 2.5 weeks ahead?
Only a week and a half, I think. Okay. Right. Take care, buddy. Bye.
You too.
All right, everybody, there you have it. This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish on a jam-packed edition of the Exit Interview podcast. So from here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get ready to talk to Wendell Holland II here on the podcast. Going to talk to him about everything that's going on and get into all of your questions for Wendell and much more coming up on our next episode. And then over the weekend, I'm going to have Hannah Shapiro here in the studio. So make sure you get your feedback questions in for Hannah. Really looking forward to that one, of course. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And of course, as you're getting ready to get closer and closer to everything going on with Black Friday, we hope you remember our link for Amazon.com. We get a small commission. You don't pay any extra when you use our link at Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. There's a banner on the homepage of robhasawebsite.com. If you don't have a pen to write down that link, Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. Thank you guys so much for listening. Talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.